My sort of go-to definition for love, which I'm sure I've shared with you before, is this: desiring the greatest good for someone else. Love is a completely selfless endeavor. Now, when we think about the opposite of love, most people think of hate. According to my definition, the opposite of love would be to desire the greatest evil for someone else, which, though awful, sounds like a pretty accurate description of what it means to hate. But I think there is another way to look at what could be considered the opposite of love. Instead of changing the desire from good to evil, you change the object from other to self. Desiring the greatest good for oneself. Of course, there is something to be said for this kind of desire, especially when we understand that the greatest good lies only in the perfect will of God. Therefore, technically, desiring the greatest good for oneself or for another both find their home in the glory of God. But the problem with this kind of love directed towards self is that we are not perfect. You see, when Jesus presented the summary of the law, he singled out two commands to cover literally everything we are to do: love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. See, in these commands, there is an understanding that we by default already love ourselves. But this love of self, expressed imperfectly, can lead to the fulfilling of our desires at the expense of others. Hence the need for the command. All of this is to explain how it is that perfect love casts out fear. Because when it comes down to it, fear is a purely selfish emotion. Fear is all about self-preservation. So when looking at it from this perspective, fear, being rooted in selfishness, is the opposite of love. So perfect love casts out fear because logically opposites cannot exist together simultaneously. Now, before we go any further, let's be clear. In many cases, fear is a useful thing. Fear can be an excellent motivator and can keep us from doing stupid things, as well as encourage us to do the right things. Fear dictates that I'm not going to go into the woods and throw rocks at a bear. Not that I would want to do that anyways, but you get the idea. And there are unfortunately many people who are only constrained by the law to do what is right, not because they feel a particular moral obligation, but because they fear the consequences. So fear of being mauled by a bear or being shipped off to jail can help people make right decisions. But again, these are only necessary because we are imperfect creatures. If we loved perfectly, I wouldn't want to throw rocks at a bear. Not that I do want to throw rocks at a bear. Out of love for that bear. And people wouldn't be half told not to commit crimes against others for love of their fellow human beings. The bigger problem is when fear keeps us from experiencing the fullness of our own potential and of the wonderful gifts that God has given us. And there are so many ways in which this can happen. How many of us have missed out on seizing opportunities because we were afraid to fail? What initiatives have been left unattempted because we have been afraid to look foolish? What relationships have never been formed because of our fear of rejection? When have we been afraid to step up and take the lead for fear of disappointing others? The truth is that we will fail. We will be rejected, we will look foolish, and we will disappoint others from time to time. This is because we all love imperfectly. And therefore, love comes with lots of unnecessary baggage like expectation and ego and past experience. Even as our own love approaches perfection, we will still be hurt. Because in order to truly work right, love must be mutually perfect. Just look at Jesus, the only person who has ever loved perfectly, and the pain that perfect love caused him. But yet, he loved us and still loves us. But thankfully, there is hope. Though it will be difficult and could be quite costly, we can help to cast out the fear within others by perfecting our love. When people realize that we will love them without all of the baggage, they are more free to accept our love and in turn love more perfectly themselves. And this all begins with our realization and acceptance of the perfect and unconditional love of God towards us. Regardless of our failings and foolishness, he will always love us perfectly. No matter whom we may disappoint, even when we sin against him, he loves us. It is only through the abiding in this perfect love of God that we can even understand, much less attempt, to love perfectly. Desiring the greatest good for others is a scary proposition. First of all, because it can easily lead us to being used and taken advantage of and hurt. And second, because we have to be firm in our beliefs and sure of our convictions. Convincing someone that what is best for their life may actually be different from what they desire can be really hard. So many have embraced lesser goods and in many cases outright evils as their own personal greatest good that even the thought of sacrificing whatever they may be could turn them against you. But our job is to continue to love, to strengthen our knowledge and conviction of the truth of our faith, to show compassion, to pray for those who exchange the pursuit of the glory of God for the pursuit of some other God, to cast out fear by loving with the perfect love of God, without reservations, without bias, and without any fear of our own. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. We believe in one God,
Prayers of the People, Form 5, found on page 389 in the Book of Common Prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault at the day